Anybody have a testimony tonight that they want to start the service with? All right, anybody else have a testimony? We got on the schedule tonight, we've got JR is going to be singing for us and preaching tonight. So he's got the whole act. You guys are in for a treat. And who is somebody else singing too? Jessica? Okay, Jessica's singing too. So you guys are in for a good service. Anybody have any prayer requests to get the service started tonight? Any other prayer requests?
Continue to remember my daughter's students. And Barbara Anderson.
Anyone else? All the families going on vacations this summer, a lot of traveling. I know we just came off two weekends of trips, and I'm thankful for safe travel. So just remember everybody in your prayers throughout the summer as they're going on all their vacations and trips everywhere. Anyone else? All right. The altar is open. If you feel like you need to come pray, feel free to come pray. Everybody just lead out in your own prayer. Anyone have any testimonies before JR gets started? Tell you, I was kind of feeling like Joe. I'm thankful for the desire to be here. You know, I came home from camping just about 12 o'clock today, I think. And I don't know, I was just feeling a little bit tired, and everybody's just kind of laying around, just getting back from a trip. That's usually how it goes. And then about 10 minutes before, you know, I wasn't even planning on coming. And if it wasn't for, you know, maybe 5 years ago when I was in high school and stuff, and before I had grown a lot as a Christian, I probably would have done everything I could to try to not come tonight. But I came upstairs and saw Dad was dressed and ready to go, and I was like, well, I got 10 minutes to hurry up and get dressed and go then, because I didn't even realize we were going, and it's shame on me really for not thinking that we weren't. But I'm glad to be here, and I didn't know that that JR was speaking tonight or singing tonight, and I actually didn't even know that I was leading the service tonight, so I'm glad I did come, or else I would have missed out on a lot. So anybody have a testimony before JR gets started? All right, there you go.
So I don't know if you saw, Brock, you can keep that off for now for a second. Whenever the cross wasn't on, Mike went back to turn it on, it was flashing. It's like, well, it's a little distracting, but I mean, if it's, I guess we'll be all right with it if it's going to be flashing, but glad we could get that worked out. I want to start by thanking the church. For those of you that don't know, I'm involved with a ministry called Young Life up in Marion County in Fairmont, and I do ministry for them, and the church supports me financially in that ministry and with prayer, and it's such a huge blessing. I mean, some of you might personally support me financially and with prayers also, and it's, you guys have no idea the blessings that you are a part of, that I get to see firsthand, the fruit that is picked and the seeds that are planted. You guys are world changers, whether you know it or not, you are. So I want to start with a quote. You can go ahead and throw that first slide up there, Brock. Because here's something else that's weird but true. In the day-to-day trenches of adult life, there's actually no such thing as atheism. There is no such thing as not worshiping. Everyone worships. The only choice we get is what to worship. And the compelling reason for maybe choosing some sort of God or spiritual type thing to worship, be it Jesus Christ or Allah, be it Yahweh or the Wiccan Mother Goddess or the Four Noble Truths or some inviolable set of ethical principles, is that pretty much anything else you worship will eat you alive. If you worship money and things, if they are where you tap real meaning in life, then you will never have enough, never feel you have enough. It's the truth. Worship your body and beauty and sexual allure, and you'll always feel ugly. And when time and age start showing, you will die a million deaths before they finally grieve you. That was from a guy named David Foster Wallace. I'm not sure if any of you have ever heard that quote, but he was a professor, an English professor at a university. And he wasn't, the crazy thing is that he wasn't a believer in Christ. He just had a lot of social anxieties, a lot of social mental illnesses. And he knew that the things that he was worshiping in life were not cutting it. They were eating him alive. And a few months after he actually gave this, it was at a commencement speech at a college graduation, he killed himself. He ended his life because whatever he was worshiping was eating him alive to the point that he couldn't take it anymore. He couldn't go on anymore. So tonight, and kind of the reason that I'm speaking before we do worship is because the message is on worship. So I figured rather than singing and then giving a message on worship and you guys being like, well, I would like to hope there's something in this message that you're like, well, I wish you would have said that before so that way I could have known that for while we were singing worship. And so that's what we're going to start with. So the main point that I want you to think right here at the beginning is that everyone worships something. We don't get to choose whether we worship something or not. We worship something. What we get to choose is what we worship. There's a video that I saw that's a woman, and she's speaking in spoken word, which is like kind of like rapping, kind of like singing, but it's kind of poetry. And she said something that really just grabbed my attention. I thought it was super poetic, but if you think about it, it's awesome. It says worship. It said worship is the feeling or expression. We worship what captivates the heart's affection, the mind's attention, and the soul's ambition. And I was like, wow, that's so deep and poetic. And it sounds pretty, but the deepness of each of those things, once you kind of dissect it, is so awesome. So we captivates what we worship what our hearts want, right? Something that, oh, that's attractive, I want that. Or, you know, that's cool, I want to get more of that. I want to do whatever I can to be around that more. Whether it's relationships or money or whatever. So we worship what captivates our heart's affection. Our mind's attention, so something that we see that we know that there's a benefit to being around that or to having that, you know? And then for our soul's ambitions, so there's something deep inside of us, there's that hole deep inside of us that we're trying to fill, right? So everyone knows that. People that are believers know that. You know that if you're a believer. The only difference is that us as believers know that that's Christ. If you're not a believer, you still got that hole that you're trying to fill. You just don't know it's Christ. So some of the things that we worship relationships. Now, relationships aren't bad, no, but ladies, if you let a man's thoughts of you drive your decisions or how you live your life, that's worshiping your relationship. Guys, if you sacrifice your ideals, your morals, your standards, because a girl wants you to, it's worship. Work isn't bad, but if you're willing to sacrifice who you are in Christ in order to climb that ladder, get a promotion, to make more money, to get higher in that job, it's worship. Money isn't bad, but if you trust it more than you trust God, it's worship. That one's on me. Sometimes I find my security in money, or in my safety in money. And it will always betray you. It is never going to make you feel as safe as God will. And you're always going to feel like there's something missing. Like you're never going to be at ease with that. Power. Now, here's one that might get you, that you might not think about. So how often do we confuse people in power, and not necessarily power with us, like us having power and being able to make decisions, but how often do we confuse people that are in power, whether it be politically or socially, or a music artist, or something like that? How often do we confuse their words with God's? And I know you think like, oh no, I don't do that. Like that's not something that I might struggle with. But we put these people on a pedestal that they were never meant to be on, right? People are meant to represent Christ, right? Whether they're musicians, if they're politicians, they're meant to lead us. Athletes, they're meant to be good examples. But their words aren't meant to replace Christ's words. And I see it so much on social media. I don't know if any of you are on social media. It's always crazy during election time specifically because you'll get these politicians that They might believe in Christ, but they know that, I mean, we want to vote in people that represent our ideals and that represent Christ and that are going to, you know, continue what Christ would want in a politician and as a country. And so during election time, you know who's a Christian and who's not, because they make sure they tell you, hey, I believe in Christ, or, you know, I'm an atheist, you know, I'm this or I'm that. They make sure that you know that. And I see people using, whether they're people in power, politicians, artists, they use biblical truths out of context. And biblical truths out of context is not that biblical truth anymore. Like, Satan used scripture to tempt Jesus. Biblical truth, not in the context of how it was written, is dangerous. It is very dangerous, because we hear it, and if we're not versed on scripture, and someone uses scripture in a way that it wasn't written, in a way that Christ didn't mean for it to be understood and to be read, if all we know is that popular scripture, we're like, oh yeah, you know, well, that's in the Bible. Like, that's true. So what he's using to support it must also be true. But guys, we have to know as Christians, we have to know what we're reading. And we have to know it in the context that we're reading it in, because Satan will use it to trip us up, whether it be through people that we respect, people that we look up to. Don't trust man over the word of God. You have to know what that scripture says and what it means in order to really believe it. So, like, we worship things like food, celebrities, influencers, and those are some of the things you're like, okay, like, I get it, like, those are, I understand. But how about some of these things? Personal satisfaction. Ouch, that hurt me, because it's just common that we're created to want to be happy, right? We want to feel that satisfaction. We want to feel like we're doing something worthy, you know. So personal satisfaction is one. Time. How many of you worship time? I worship time sometimes. If I, you know, I'm crunched down, I kind of, oh, well, I'm not going to, you know, give you the time that you deserve, because I got to get to class, or because I got to get to this ball game, or because I got to get to, I'm meeting someone for lunch. Love and pride. Those are all things that we worship. And nearly everything that you worship will eat you alive and leave you wanting and needing more. You'll crave it. Just that little bit that you're getting, once you taste it, you want more and you want more. But it wasn't designed. It wasn't created for you to get what you need from it. Our family is pretty close with the Millers, and so we hang out sometimes. And Kim's looking at me like, what am I going to say? But we're pretty close, and sometimes we hang out on special occasions. And sometimes on those special occasions, we have brisket, right? So if you don't know brisket, it's not good. Don't eat it. It doesn't taste good. It's not good. If I'm ever around you and there's brisket, just trust me, it's not good. You won't want any of it. So Brian will smoke a brisket, and once he's done with it, he'll bring out a little piece for you to try. And he's like, hey, is this edible? I'm like, duh, it's edible. It's really good. But he brings out a little piece just for everyone to try. And you try it, and you're like, wow, that's so good. Just melts in your mouth. Like, if you like meat, oh my gosh. And so, you know, after I take that little piece that he gives me and I eat it, I'm satisfied, I'm good, I don't want any more. No. No. After I have that little piece, and it just melts in my mouth, and I'm like, man, like, when's he going to bring out the bit, you know, the whole tray full of brisket? When are we going to eat? Like, that's what I'm thinking. And so, like, I may not have been patient for him to bring out the brisket and for us to eat before I took that little taste. But once I had that little taste, I wanted that. I wanted it. I was ready for it. Looking at my watch, hey, is the macaroni and cheese done? Hey, whatever. What's holding up this brisket? And so what does end up filling me up is the brisket, right? Once it's time to eat and I eat, I'm full. But that little piece doesn't fill me up. It leaves me wanting more. And that's the things that we worship that aren't Christ. They're that little piece that you get that little bit of life in, because there is a little bit of life in those things, because God created it. It's the creation. It's not the creator, but it's the creation. So those little things have a little bit of life in it that we're like, wow, that makes me feel good, right? Oh, man, my favorite sports team won, you know, the NBA Finals. Man, that makes me feel good. Like, next year they're probably not going to win it, so you're definitely not going to get that high again. You know, weed. Oh, man, I smoked the weed. Man, I felt great. That felt awesome. But that feeling goes away. man, I got hammered last night with my friends, and it was just awesome, and I had a blast. But then the next day, you don't feel so great anymore. Man, like, that girl, she was so, like, I can tell that she really likes me. But that fades. You get a promotion, and that promotion's great for a little bit, and you're like, wow, that's awesome. I'm making more money than I was before. You know, I've got more power. It's an easier job. But that's all relative, because eventually, it's not going to, you could have been making more money with another job. You could have had more power over, you know, in your position. You could be a little more comfortable. That stuff all fades. But that's not what we were intended to fill ourselves with. That's not what worshiping, we weren't supposed to worship that to make ourselves full. But like I said, it's really scary, because it does give you a little bit of life. And that's why people keep chasing it, because if that stuff didn't give you any life or didn't give you any enjoyment, people wouldn't do it. But it gives you that little bit of fulfillment. And that's scary, because it's never going to fill you up all the way. But Christ and worshiping Christ is what we were designed to do. Worship the Creator, not the creation. That's what we were designed to do, and that's what's really going to fill us up. So what are we worshiping? So let's take a look at Scripture. Matthew chapter 15, we'll go to verses 1 through 9. It'll be on the board, but if you want to pull it out, you can grab it. My translation may be a little different than yours. I apologize for that. Like I said, it's on the board. So I do apologize if it's a little different. But it says, it's that which defiles. So it says, then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. Jesus replied, and why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and your mother. Anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father and mother with it. Thus, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people will honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. All right, so what are we worshiping? What does that scripture tell us to worship? Does it tell us to worship? It tells us to worship Christ, right? Not these man-made rules that we create. That's one thing that we've got to be careful, is that we're worshiping Christ and not different traditions or different things that we've created in the church. It should always go to Christ. That should always be what we're worshiping. 1 Samuel, I think it's chapter 15. It's whenever Saul is the king. It's not on that, Brock. I don't have it up, sorry. So Saul is the king of Israel at the time. And Jesus tells him, or not Jesus, God, well, all the same. But God tells him to go into this city, right? And he says, destroy everything, but don't take anything with you once we leave. So just destroy their buildings, the people, but don't take any of it with you whenever you leave. And so Saul goes into this city, and he destroys all of it. But then he takes the best gold, the best silver, the best livestock, you know, all the things that are valuable, and he brings it back, and he sacrifices it to God, or he makes it as a shrine to God, you know, to praise God for. And God gets really upset with Saul, because what did he tell Saul to do? He told him to destroy it. Don't take any of it with you. That's not ours. Destroy it and leave it. But Saul got this bright idea in his head. He said, well, you know, I'm going to worship God, and I'm going to take all this stuff, and it's good, right? I mean, it's not bad if I'm taking this to honor God. But God desires obedience more than he desires our self-righteous thoughts and our, you know, it's good, like, if I honor God in this way. But if that's not what God said to do, that's dishonoring God. We might be trying to honor God, but that's dishonoring God. And that's actually how Saul, if you don't know, that's how Saul lost favor with God and then prepared the way for David to be the king of Israel, is because Saul got this bright idea that God's words and God's way of honoring himself was not enough for him. He wanted people to say, well, look how Saul honors God. Look at this thing that Saul did. Look at this thing that Saul did. When really God just wanted obedience. So God values obedience over our own intentions and rules. Don't forget that. Why are we worshiping? Brock, can you look up 1 Chronicles? So if you want to go to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, we'll read from 23 to 31 there. And it'll be up here, but you can also look it up in your Bibles if you'd like to. So it says, "Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all people. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord has made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord all your families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord in his dwelling place. Or ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among nations, the Lord reigns." Guys, we were designed. The reason that we were designed is to worship God. Go back to Genesis and read what it says. Our purpose was to glorify God. That was what we were here for. If we're not doing that, which is what I was talking about, the little things that we try to get life from, which gives us a little bit because God created them, if that's what we're going to, that's not the purpose of, that's not why we were created. So we're not going to get fulfillment from that because it wasn't how God designed us. God designed us perfectly, and that wasn't how he designed us. So worship is an active response to what God has done. So if you don't know what God has done for you, pay attention because he's doing stuff for you. Whether it's just out there or not, like, you need to pay attention and remember what God's done for you, because there's going to be a time where you're going through something really difficult and you're thinking in your head, man, like, if only God could do this for me, or like, man, what is he? But then if you look a year ago, he might have answered your prayer that you're praying for now a year ago, and you forgot about it because we're not paying attention. We want the results, but we don't, you know, does that make sense? So we need to pay attention. Whenever God gives you something to praise him for, stand up and praise him for it. Worship him in that. Testify, you know, tell it to someone. Whenever I try to make it a point that if I've got a prayer, and it might even be a personal prayer, but if God answers it anyway, I've got to tell someone that God answered that prayer. I might not tell everybody. It might not be something that I want everyone to know. But if God answers that prayer, I make sure that I tell my mom, or I tell my fiance, or I tell one of my best friends, because someone needs to know that God answered that prayer for me. So there are different ways that we can participate in that active worship, right? So worship, remember, it's active. It's not dormant. Worship is moving. So we can worship in prayer. And we worship in prayer by praying that his will would be done. And that's easy to say, but hard to pray. Because if we're praying it, we need to believe it. And that's hard to sometimes get behind. And we like to say, yes, you know, I want God's will to be done. But then whenever it really comes time that God's will, God doing it the way that he had designed for it to do, we're like, well, God, I wanted it done, but the way you're kind of doing it, like, that's not convenient for me, you know? Like, that's not the way that doesn't fit into my schedule. Like, I want it in this time, but you want to do it, like, this much longer, and I just really need it right now, so that really doesn't work for me, right? So whenever we're praying and worshiping God in prayer, it needs to be that his will be done, and that we're thanking him for what he's done for us. We can worship through singing and music. This is one of my, honestly, this, whenever I heard this at a service, at a sermon that I was at, and this is probably the single, like, greatest revelation in the past few years for me of something that came from God, right? So how many of you know Francis Chan? He's a pastor, pretty well-known guy, but he's a really good pastor, and he said this in one of his services that I had heard. A guy walks up to him after a regular service, right? And he's like, you know, like, that was a great service, you know, I really like the sermon, but I didn't care much for the worship that service. Like, it was good, but it just wasn't really my thing. Maybe he didn't like the songs or the style, whether it was, like, I don't know, maybe they had drums and he didn't like the drums, maybe they used an organ and he wanted the newer stuff, he didn't like the older stuff. And this is what Francis Chan says back to him. And this is so convicting because there have been times where I've been to different churches and after the service I'm like, well, I like the sermon, but the songs they played, they just weren't my cup of tea. Like, that wasn't really my thing. And this is what Francis Chan says back to the guy. He says, to the guy that said he didn't really love the worship, Francis Chan says, that's all right. We weren't worshiping you. Like, ouch. Right? I mean, I'll be the first to say that I've been to services and been like, I didn't really like the worship that service. Like, I don't, whenever my fiance and I were trying out different churches in Morgantown, I would sometimes base whether we went back to that church on whether I liked the music they played. They would play the music and I'd be like, well, like, I don't know. It was just kind of like down. Like, they weren't really up any upbeat songs. It seemed pretty like unhappy. And then we don't go back to that church because I didn't like the worship, but they weren't worshiping me. They were worshiping Christ. I mean, how convicting is that? And I'd never heard that before. And I was like, maybe you'd already thought that, or maybe you'd, but if you don't like the worship, it's okay. We're not worshiping you. If whenever I sing, hopefully you like it, Mom, whenever Mom sings, hopefully you like it. But if you don't, that's fine, because we're not worshiping you. We're worshiping Christ. And if you're participating in the worship with us, which we're going to give you an opportunity, there's going to be words up on the board. If you don't know the songs, you can sing with us. Stand, pray, clap your hands, whatever. If you are worshiping and you sing with us and the person beside you doesn't like your singing, that's okay. You're not worshiping them. You're worshiping the Lord. So remember that, because that's really stuck with me. And it's really, it's been something that every single time I go to a church now, I'm like, well, like I need to pay attention to the spirit of the worship and not the worship. That was just huge for me. Things like dancing, okay? Speaking, whether it's teaching, preaching, witnessing. If God, like I said before, if God's done something for you, tell somebody about it. That's worshiping God. Little things like that. It's all worshiping God. It's what we were designed to do. There's times where I'll be hanging out with a high school kid, and they'll tell me something, and I get this little, like, kick of spiritual discernment in that, and I just start talking to them, and I'm like, I don't know where this, like, this is, what's coming out of my mouth is way too smart for it to be coming from me. So I don't know where it's coming from. It's coming from God. But then after I have that conversation with that high schooler, and I'm like, look, like you're loved, man, like because God loves you, not because your parents, you know, said you had a good, you played a good game or not. Like, you're loved because God loves you. Man, that's where you get a high from. That's what life is, because that's what we were designed to do. That's where worshiping God comes from. And that feeling you get, it's unlike anything else. And that's what you need to chase, is worshiping God. I remember whenever we were, I was in middle school, I think it was middle school, and we were all praying for Jess Gundy, right, to come and get saved and find the Lord. And we were all, it was revival, I think, and we were all praying up front, and then I heard some, like, movement, and I turned around and saw Jess walking down the aisle. And I'm not close with Jess. I may have spoken two words to Jess, but I started crying, and I felt the Spirit, it felt like wind was just smacking me in the back. And I was like, Adam, look, like, Jess is coming. And we just got so excited, man. And I'll tell you, like, that's what we were designed for. That's worshiping the Lord right there. Like, I said, I've had spoken maybe two sentences, Jess. But that is what worshiping the Lord looks like. Maybe it's testifying. I don't know. I mean, I know people have said it before. Like, if you are supposed to testify and you don't say anything, you feel like crap afterwards. Because you were supposed to testify. God gave you words to say, and you didn't say it. But whenever you do speak, and you do say the words that God has for you to say, that's worshiping God. Whether it's standing up and saying, I love the Lord, like, praise the Lord. Like, he's been good to me. If you're here tonight, God's been good to you. Because there's people that probably wanted to come to church tonight all across the country that, bam, their heartbeat stopped. They didn't make it. If you're here tonight, God's been good to you. Crying. This is one that's like, the older I've gotten, I think the more I've started to understand it, how crying could be worshiping the Lord. I'll be driving down the road and a song will come on, and it might be a secular song that's not even worship, but maybe it's sang by, I don't know if you know Mumford and Sons. So they're like a secular group, but they're Christians that sing music. They're not necessarily Christian, they don't necessarily play Christian music, they don't play bad music, but they just play secular music. And but in some of their songs, they add stuff to the words that you can tell. You can hear that song and say, you know where they're getting life from. And there's one song called Awake My Soul by Mumford and Sons. Like, just the title at that. Like, how can that not be about the Lord? And then in the chorus, it's a really simple song, but it just keeps singing, "Awake my soul, awake my soul." I've got a friend that's, I want to go to a Mumford and Sons concert, but I have a friend that's been there. And whenever they play that song, you've got thousands and thousands of people singing, "Awake my soul, awake my soul." And they don't even know what they're singing, but they're worshiping God, whether they know it or not. And whenever I think about that, I'll be driving up to Morgantown, listening to that song, and I just start singing it. And then I hit that, like, second "awake my soul," and I can't sing anymore because I'm crying. Because I'm worshiping God. I might not be able to get any words out, but I'm worshiping God. There's a song, Brock, you can put it up there. There's a group called 21 Pilots, and they were involved with Young Life in high school. They're a pretty popular band, but they're really good. And this song they've got, it's called Truce. And to set up the song, they do so many different theatric stuff on stage. There's this one thing where they're singing a song over here, right? And, like, the main stage is way over here, like thousands of people. And they end that song. So he's already on this stage. And so they cut to black and throw this song up on the board for people to sing while they're kind of moving back to get things set up for the song. And it's really cool because the music is super soft, and it's almost like karaoke the way they do it, because the singers aren't, they're moving around. They're not singing it right now. It's only the crowd singing it. And so it says, now the night is coming to an end. The sun will rise, and we will try again. Stay alive for me. You will die, but now your life is free. Take pride in what is sure to die. Whenever I heard them sing that, and I went to a 21 Pilots concert just a week or so ago, and they were all singing that, and I looked at my buddy, and I was like, dude, he was like, they don't even know what they're singing. They're like, they're praising God. You will die, but now your life is free. How are you going to make that like anything other than what it is? And they don't even know what they're singing about, but they're praising God. Brock, you can throw that off. Tithing is something that if you're making money, I felt a conviction the second I started like having a job, and my parents had raised me in this way that if I was making money, whether I could afford to or not, I was going to tithe 10% minimum of what I was making to the Lord. I was giving to my friends, and I have some friends on Young Life Staff Ministry. I was giving to them, and let me tell you, there have been months where I've forgotten to tithe. Because I don't have it like reoccurring. I go in and I make my tithe. There have been months where I've forgotten, and at the end of that month, things are tight. But take that however you want, but things are tight. Mom and Dad might have to deposit some cash in my account or something, because it was just tight in months that I've forgotten to tithe. And then there have been months where I've tithed, and there's never been a month that I've tithed, and at the end of the month, I'm missing that money. And I'm not going to tell you how much it is, but like it's enough to where like I should be missing it at the end of the month. It would make sense for me to be missing it at the end of the month, but I never have, not once, ever. But then there have been months where I've forgotten to, and at the end of the month, I'm like, dang, like I'm glad that I kept that money, but I'm like, man, what would I have done if I, you know, had tithed at the beginning of that month? Like, what would I do? But then, like I said, months where I've tithed, I've never had to worry about that money at the end of the month. I've never said, man, I wish that I had that X amount of money at the end of the month to do whatever I needed to do with it. Never. And that's because it's using it to worship God. And if you're using things to worship God, whether it's talents or money or time, they will always come back. It will always make its way back to you. So worship is active. And Brock, if you'll throw up Romans 12. It's just a couple verses, you don't need to flip to it. It says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's good will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. A key word that I want you to be focused on is living. It's a living sacrifice. To sacrifice something means that you're getting rid of it, right? Like you're giving it up. So a living sacrifice is you're giving your life away actively every day in worshiping the Lord, whether it's through your time, through your efforts, through witnessing, whatever. You're living a living sacrifice to God, and that is true and proper worship. Guys, it's what we create. It's what we were created to do. Like I said, this is what we were created to do, was to worship. So I'm going to challenge you, Mom, if you want to come up. I'm going to challenge you guys, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to worship tonight, actively, to actively worship. The altar is always open. Like, it's always open. So at any time during the music, during the worship, you come up and you pray. We can worship with our words, actions, our minds, our spirits. And so I want to give you the opportunity to stand and worship if you want to stand and worship. If you want to sit and worship, you can sit and worship. If you want to close your eyes and not sing, close your eyes and don't sing. If you want to raise your hands, if you want to come to the altar and pray, if you want to clap, however God's putting on you to worship, you worship. And if you don't, it's not going to feel good. So this is like, this is my warning to you, that if God's putting it on your heart to sing or to stand up or to put your hand up or to give a shout or to come pray and you don't do it, it's not going to feel good. So the words are all, every word to every song that we're going to do is going to be on the screens. You might know it, you might not know it, but the words are going to be up there. You can see the words. One reason I wanted the words up there is so you could see it to sing it. The other one is so you could see it to feel it and to feel the power of Christ that's in these words to these songs, that the people that wrote it in the lyrics, how they wrote the song. Because it's from God. It's not from just their own desires and thoughts. It's Christ-inspired. So be obedient and lift him up in whatever you do, but just do something. Pray. Stand up. Put your hand up. Sing. Do something. Worship however God's putting it on your heart to worship. If anyone has a word while we're getting ready. Greg, do I need to mute this or are you going to mute this?
So we're going to do worship. If you want to stand and sing, you stand and sing. If you want to sit and sing, whatever God's calling you to do, just do something.
And sing loud so that you don't have to hear me.
So this first song, it's Doxology. I'm sure a lot of you have heard it. It's literally a call to worship. So if you're not ready to worship after this, this song's your warm-up.
So stand up.
So stand up. And this song is to get your engine revved up to worship God.
And if closing your eyes helps you, then close your eyes. Who cares who else is here? Again, it's just you and the Lord.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son,
sit or stand, whatever you want to do. You just do your thing. If you want to sit down, sit down. If you want to stand, sit down.
I can feel the water rise.
I can hear the howling lies that haunt me.
Fear won't hold me now. My feet are on the rock. When I feel my hope about to break, I will cling to your unchanging grace. Let the waters come and the earth give way. I'll be dancing in the rain. My feet are on the rock. I can see the morning light. My faith is found. I stand on solid ground. When I feel my hope about to break, I will cling to your unchanging grace. Let the waters come and the earth give way. I'll be dancing in the rain. My feet are on the rock.
Solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. So stomp your feet and clap your hands, our feet are on the rock.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. So stomp your feet and clap your hands, our feet are on the rock. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. So stomp your feet and clap your hands, our feet are on the rock. When I feel my hope about to break, I will cling to your unchanging grace. Let the waters come and the earth give way. I'll be dancing in the rain. When I feel my hope about to break, I will cling to your unchanging grace. Let the waters come and the earth give way. I'll be dancing in the rain. My feet are on the rock. My feet are on the rock. My feet are on the rock. My feet are on the rock.
Amen. That one's not very easy to follow, probably, so hopefully this one will be a little easier to follow if you don't know it. Brock, you can go ahead and throw it up. Oh, it's right up there. And if you feel called at any time to come up and pray, you do it. Ooh.
worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. Your your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy. Like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name. Yes, I'll worship your holy name.
Amen. That sounded really good, guys. I lay in
dust, life's glory dead, and from the ground there blossoms red, life that shall endless be.
Wow, that was awesome. So where I went from speaking right into worship, this is the altar call. So if you want to come and worship God through prayer, if you haven't praised God for something that he's done for you, come up and do it during this song, and just worship him in that way. Shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, love of God. It chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the night.
$2.99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. The overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God.
Amen. Does anyone have any words? Robbie, do you have any? Because of his brisket? Is that what he said?
Different. If you look around, some are standing, some are sitting, some are raising hands, some are crying, but they're all worshiping.
Right.
God is so everything. He's so everything. I'm so little, but he's so everything. I can't put him in my box. He's not in a box. He doesn't fit my box. He's bigger than my box. He's huge, but he so fits everybody's personality, everybody's character. He has something for everybody, and I think your message was awesome.
Right.
I think it was to the point. I think it hit what I needed to remember on a daily basis that everything I do needs to be done as worship to him. I think the Bible says, all that you do, do as unto the Lord. Worship in all that you do, because everything we do is worship. Everything we do can be worship. Good message. I like your worship. I like your singing, and I like your assistant. I thought it was
awesome. She's the star. She's not the assistant.
She's the star. Well then, I like your assistant. So yeah. Either way, I like. But I thought it was awesome. Pulled together rather well. God just put it all together and just put a stamp of approval, and it met needs I have. I'm thankful that God answers prayers. I'm thankful that he leaves the 99 and comes to the one.
Right.
That he chases me down, because he has to a lot, but he does. And he's answering prayers right now. He's answered prayers in the past. He's in the middle of it right now, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that God loves little old me. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for you. Appreciate you.
Amen. J.R., I appreciate your obedience. Right. I appreciate your confidence in God, because there's so many times that he wanted me to do things and I didn't have confidence in me.
Yeah.
But over the years, I've learned to realize that I didn't have confidence that he could bring me through it.
Bless God.
And when he tells you to do something, do it, because if you don't, he takes that away from you. And you see him give it to somebody beside you, there's nothing you can do about it. And you've lost that. So he tells you something to do, be confident in God, because he can pull you through it.
Amen. Bless you, God.
Oh, praise God. You mentioned that, you know, when God does something for us, that we should thank him for it. And, you know, my first semester, last semester, it kind of lines out of me. I really was not ready for it. God got me through it. I thank you for it. And in the first couple weeks of this one, have just gone as smooth as possible. And it's been awesome. And I'm enjoying it a little bit now, finally. And I just feel like I'm meant to be there. And God's just working everything out for me. And, you know, that could change next week. And if it does, then we'll deal with it then. But, you know, I just want to thank you now while I can. Because if it was to change next week, then I'd be all worried and I wouldn't be able to thank you for what you've already done. I'd be distracted and stressed about something else. So while you're doing this for me right now, I just want to thank you for it while I can. I'm just truly thankful. I'm enjoying it. Where God has me right now, and I'm just thankful for that.
Amen. J.R., I appreciate hearing you tonight.
Yeah.
I sat back here and I thought, we hear of Young Life, and we hear of J.R. out there ministering to Young Life, and we are not really sure exactly what that's like. But I got a real good glimpse of you ministering to a group of younger people, that, and just how you could relate to them from what I heard from you tonight.
Right.
And it just encourages me even more now that I kind of hear what you are out there doing in your ministry with the Young Life. And it just really opened it up to me tonight. So I appreciate it. I enjoyed everything that you said and sang tonight. And it just gives me a more of a positive outlook on just what you are doing out there for the younger generation and those that may not know what they need to know. Just how astounding what you said could have went through to these people. So I appreciate you.
Yeah, bless you, friend. Bless you, Brandon.
J.R. is an awesome way of sitting in the house. I truly appreciate you. I've watched you grow up. And
bless you, Brian.
Hey, man.
You said something there a while ago.
That's right.
Being able to tell what they were living for, who they were living for, not missed a lot of opportunities out there when I was discouraged or down and had opportunities to wish and people let people know who and what I was living for. And a lot of times I did, but there was other times I didn't. But now I know which Sunday's where I'm going to be.
Amen.
It's
amen.
Good feeling.
Yeah.
Chase wanted to provide for my family well, and I'm worried about that more than I'm supposed to, and focused on what I'm really here for. And, y'all just pray for me that I'll leave people no question to do what I'm doing for.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
J.R., I'm so proud of you. And I know you said you were born, and so proud of the person you have been, thankful for your service to the Lord. And your message tonight is wonderful.
Yeah.
You just sound wonderful together saying.
J.R., you're stepping out in your faith, and it's really, really paying off and showing up well. And Jessica, you know, just, your family's blessed, and you go around this church, and your family's everywhere in this church. You know, you see Chip out in the hallway, standing guard, or Brock up there doing that, J.R. up there, Lexi teaching, Lexi and Corey teaching, and you doing the music and everything, and it's a true blessing.
Amen.
We're thankful for that.
I want to thank God for this past week. We went to Florida and back, passed by a wreck. We weren't in a wreck. And we traveled all day yesterday to get back straight through, and we were safe all the way through. But, you know, I want to thank him for unprayered answers. We were on the Gulf side, which is like a lake, right? There's no waves. Well, The first 3 or 4 days, there were storms out to sea, so there were waves about 8 to 10 feet tall and would kill you and slam you. And to me, it was awesome. Lori kept saying, "You must have prayed for this." I didn't, but I wished for that. Then by the end of it, Friday, it was back to the Gulf of Lake, and that's all it. So I just thank God that for safety there and back, safety while we were there.
Bless you, Rob.
And I mean, my brother and his girlfriend and I were just feet away from what could have been a shark. I'm not sure what it was, but it was a big old fish, and it was right there in our face, and we decided to get out of the water at that point, but God kept us safe. And yeah. I'm just thankful that God's like that. And I'm thankful that we're here. And we were here today, this morning, tonight. I wanted to be here. I wanted to get back. You wanted to come to church.
Yeah.
I wanted to get in church. But I'm thankful that God answers prayers that aren't even prayed.
Yeah.
As we're getting ready to close, you don't have to raise your hand because I probably know the answer, but I am very guilty of worry. I don't know if anybody else shares my problem, but I have a problem with worry. And there are things that I worry about that it don't make any difference that I'm worried about it. I ain't gonna change a bit, but I worry about it. And I heard a message, and it was the same one that I had shared with you and JR about worshiping the Lord. And the pastor said, when you're worrying, you can't worship. But if you worship, you can't worry. And so it's your choice. So tomorrow when you get up and you start that stuff of worrying about this, worrying about that, worrying about whatever you want to worry about, if it's going to rain or if it's not or whatever, stop your worry and give your worship to Him. And it'll change your day. I have to have that on my computer. I have to have it on my wall. I have to have it everywhere at my work because I forget. My brain just doesn't remember that. And so it says right there in front of me, give Him your worship instead of your worry. So I encourage you tomorrow, if you're a worrier, give it to Him and give Him worship instead. And you can't worry when you're worshiping.
I need to praise the Lord for my fiance and her family. I can say that because she's not here, because if she was here, the waterworks would start. But she has her family. They all love the Lord. Her parents love the Lord. Her aunts and uncles love the Lord. Her cousins love the Lord. Her grandparents love the Lord. And it's just, I think that's something that Mom said, that I've been 40 since I was 4. I think that's one of the things, like, I've always worried about that probably a lot of guys don't worry about. Is like, I worried about, you know, a girl that I liked, her family not being believers, and just that struggle, how hard that would be. And thank the Lord, I don't have to worry about that. And they support me in my ministry, which is awesome, because I'm not going to be making a ton of money, and they're okay with that, which is awesome. It might also have something to do with the fact that their daughter's going to medical school. That could also play a little part in it. But just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that they love the Lord and they love me. That's something that He needs to be praised for, because it doesn't happen to everybody. So.
Right now is the application process starting to, because you have to apply to vet school. It's very competitive. It's very competitive in vet school. But it's something that she has wanted for her whole life. And she has worked really hard to make good grades and to get where she's at. And so she started that process. The application opened in May. And she has until September, and there's all kinds of stuff that she has to do. And to just apply to vet school for a college to say yes or no. And but that's what she wants to do. And I know, compared to my sister's illness and all the illnesses in this church and everything. else that's going on. Her getting into vet school may just seem very minor, but it's something that she wants.
Amen.
I'm very proud of her. How she's worked so hard. She's going to be graduating in December. She would like to be able to start next fall in vet school. And so if God lays it on your heart, I just ask that you pray that that she fills out that application just exactly how she needs to, and that she gets an opportunity, even if it's just one. I think she has 7 schools picked out. She just needs to go to one. But I just ask that you remember that. Because it's something she wants. And I would like to see that for her. I think of all the times that when she would leave her house and she would go to on her way to class, she would call me. I'm just thankful. And I give this praise to God, but I'm thankful that she knows that this mom, her mom, is a praying mom. And she would say, "Mom, I got a really hard test today." But that she knew that mom was going to be praying for her. And so she had sent me a screenshot of where she said, "Let the process begin." And it was a picture of her opening up to apply. I said, "I'll be praying for you." And something like, "You need to pray too." And she said, "I already have been." And so that made me feel good that she, she knows. And if she doesn't get accepted, that she will know that God wants her somewhere else. God wants her to do something else. But if it matters to us, it matters to God. Yeah. And this is something she has wanted her whole life. Anyway, I just ask that you just pray for that for her, because it is very competitive. It's very hard. Harder to get in vet school than it is med school. But she likes animals better than people. I'm just being honest. But I thought Wednesday night how Phil talked about his little dog and Rosalie we're all, most of us here, animal lovers too. And God gave us those animals, and she wants to be able to work on animals one day. So just pray for that, please. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I've got a request and a report. We gave money to the church camp that our kids go to. So my request is this. Church camp starts tomorrow. We've got about 10 of our kids going. So pray it'll be there Monday through Friday in classes and lessons and preaching. So pray for them for the week. Pray for cool weather, because I haven't got all the heat stuff worked out, so it's hot out there, so pray for cool weather. Pray for church, and come out to church if you want. 7:30, Tim Parsons is preaching. It's right between Spencer and Ripley. If you get to the Votech, if you just pass it to Little Creek Road, there will be signs for camp. Come out and be preaching. But we gave the money to finish a dorm and a shower house. The dorm's done. The shower house is not quite, but close. It's not going to be done for this week, but it's going to be done shortly thereafter. So I've got pictures of it, so you guys just want you to know our money that we gave has been used towards what we gave before. Amen. And pray for the camp.
Amen. One prayer request of mine. The church gives financially, and some of you give financially to me and my ministry. We are going to Young Life Camp July 13th through the 19th. I'm going to be taking think anywhere from 10 to 12 guys right now that are signed up, plus 20 some girls for Fairmont Senior that are signed up. Just pray that more people would sign up if God's got them going, if they're on God's list that's going this week, this summer, and that while we're there, that they would just see the gospel in ways they've never seen it before. You can just be praying for that.